boat is painted green, aha, me boys. Lukey's boat is painted green, the prettiest boat you ever seen, aha, Mahami Riddle I Day.
Well, welcome to another edition of our Working Waterfront. This is Chris Bricker, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Port of Port Townsend Commissioner Pam Petronic, and our Ports Director, Aaron Berg. Each month, right around this time, we bring you an update on news and issues surrounding our vibrant maritime community. Aaron and Pam, welcome once again to our Working Waterfront.
Thank you.
Hello.
Well, we have some exciting news along with two special guests, as a matter of fact, to deliver it to you, but we'll get to that in just a bit. As is our custom here on Working Waterfront, we start things off with a brief recap of the month from Aaron. And Aaron, what's been happening around the port as we ride into the fall and into the winter?
Well, it's budget season right now. The Port Commission's been busy looking at 2021 financials, planning 2022. And at this point, it's shaping up to be a big project year. So that also represents what we've been working on, is continuing to advance the cause for the Point Hudson Jetty. Just a whole lot of work there trying to prep that with the anticipation and hope that we will construct that project next fall, mid-September 2022, to begin that. We've also been working pretty hard with the city and with the PUD to imagine a project that would address some real hazard concerns with the power lines adjacent to the boatyard, and at the same time, give a little more room in the boatyard for marine trades to work. Our yard is full. We are very, very busy. Crews are getting creative and putting boats places where they haven't often put them. And so that project, I think, would be very positive, both from a safety standpoint and a job creation standpoint for the port and the community. And then lastly, I think we shared last time that our Director of Capital Projects and Port Engineer, Mike Love, is leaving us. We're just wrapping up the selection process for his replacement, and we may very well be able to have him here next time and maybe let him introduce himself in his own words. But the preview is we're hiring a Port Townsend High School graduate who grew up here, went off, got educated, gained experience, and currently lives here and is going to get to come to work for his hometown. So we are really excited to welcome Matthew Klontz to the port team, and he'll start in his new role on November 1st.
That's really exciting, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think we all are here at headquarters.
Well, Aaron, also, I noticed that there is a vaccination requirement. You want to speak to that a little bit and what's been going on with that?
Yeah, I saw that reported too. It was reported a bit more broadly than the actual text of the requirement. So Port of Port Townsend is a landlord to the state of Washington, and as such is subject to Governor Inslee's proclamation, which essentially requires a vaccine verification program for port staff and port contractors who enter that rented space. So this does not apply to anybody other than our employees and those we hire who enter the space at Point Hudson rented by the state of Washington for WDFW. And that order is in effect now for port staff performing lease contract services.
Commissioner Pam has news about Team Jefferson Economic Development Council, some exciting news. And of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our marine trades family. So take it away, Pam.
As a port commissioner, I volunteer to serve on the board of the Economic Development Council and work closely with the director to represent our community. The executive director position is currently open, of which we've received 12 applicants. Four have been selected for the final interview process, and three live here in Jefferson County. The final interviews are scheduled for this Friday, October 15th. There's an interview panel of 20 community members, which include our elected and their directors from each of our county, city, port, and PUD governmental jurisdictions, the EDC board members, and several actively engaged community members from throughout all three districts. Based upon the interview panel's input, the EDC board may select the final candidate at its next board meeting on October 21st. I'm excited about that. Then a marine trades family that I want to highlight is Joe Smith, his son Ocean, and wife April. And they have a business called Ocean Systems, which is a marine electrical business located in Boat Haven. I'm going to read you a quote that Joe Smith wrote. "My wife April and I have a business installing boat systems. And until last year, we fished our troller longliner, the fishing vessel Caribou. I grew up in Boat Haven. My father and I moved here in 1978 to live on his 30-foot sloop, Vogad. I spent my youth traveling between my sailing family in Port Townsend and my fishing family in Alaska. I mopped floors at the sail loft and played games in the cupola house at Point Hudson. April and I have raised our son Ocean the same way. In conversations with mariners in ports up and down the coast, Port Townsend's working waterfront is synonymous with craftsmanship. Our maritime heritage is the defining characteristic of our community. There is no town between Seward, Alaska and San Diego that is any saltier. We are the 20%. Joe Smith and his family."
I like that. Thanks, Pam. Let's get on with things here. Our port facility in South County is located on Quilcene Bay at the southern terminus of Lingerlonger Road. And the property encompasses some 58 acres of waterfront and uplands, together with roughly 2 acres of tidelands on the west side of the bay. The uplands host Coast Seafood Company and include a gravel parking lot, a public restroom and laundry, a marina office, and a swimming beach. And the tidelands are occupied by a 51-slip recreational marina and a boat launch ramp and rock breakwaters. 5 months ago, the Quilcene Outreach Project was launched to involve area residents in painting a picture of the facility's future. And here to tell us all about it are our special guests. Commissioner Pam, would you do the honors?
I would like to introduce Eric Taves, our deputy director of the Port of Port Townsend, to tell us a little bit about how this Quilcene project is going.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Petranek. Yeah, it's really exciting. If ever there was one, this is a case study in grassroots democracy. And I think we have a commission that is really understanding and sensitive to the need for better communication between constituents and elected officials. And so earlier this year, the commission unanimously voted to move forward with essentially an active listening project for Quilcene to try to better understand how citizens and residents use the port's facility in South County, and also what they would like to see in the future. You know, obviously the port is in the middle of a budgeting process right now, the annual operating and capital budget process. And before identifying projects and improvements to undertake, the commission thought that it was critically important to better understand the needs of the community. So that's what this project is really all about, approaching with some humility the community and listening to better understand how people use the facility and what their vision for the future is. So with the commission's support earlier this year, we launched the project trying to find new and creative ways to reach out and hear from the community in this kind of unprecedented time of the pandemic, which is really, frankly, had a pretty corrosive effect on local democracy. But we didn't want that to stand in our way and wanted to find a way to really hear from people. So we retained Jeannie McMacken to help us with this. We used a number of different avenues: online, a questionnaire, word of mouth, with the ability to schedule and prearrange phone calls and kind of listening sessions to work through the same slate of questions with Jeannie. And then finally, some opportunities for one-on-one in-person meetings down in Quilcene as well. So there are a variety of different ways for people to participate. And I think the word was really pretty widely disseminated in South County, and we're excited to engage with the community and better learn from them before we take kind of next steps for the public's cherished facility at the end of Linger Longer Road. So I think with that, I'd like to introduce Jeannie McMacken and suggest that she can provide us with sort of an overview of what her process was and what her kind of key takeaways are from engaging with residents.
Eric, you mentioned listening, and what better choice, right, than Jeannie McMacken, who has a background as a journalist, among many other things, but background as a journalist and the ability to listen, the ability to curate comments and come up with some results. What did you end up doing?
This has been such a great project, and it is all about listening. People really responded when we asked these questions. We had almost 110 responses, and that's roughly almost 40% of Quilcene responded to our request. I think that's just remarkable, and my hat's off to them. It tells me that they're really interested in what happens. That I think that's one of the biggest takeaways. You know, no matter where you stand on the issues, everybody had an opinion, and everybody's opinion counts. The presentation that I'll do on Wednesday next week will shed some light on people's perceptions and what they want to see happen. I feel like I was talking to relatives and friends that I've never had. I didn't know them. One of the things that I can tell you is that all of the surveys online came in with just their zip code. We don't know who they are. And it's true for the in-person listening project. All the people, I knew some of them, but many I didn't. And I just recorded a number and their first initial. I don't know who they are. So I didn't want any bias there whatsoever. It was a wonderful experience to sit and listen to people who were so passionate on both sides of an issue, who really respect the property. They respect what's there. They want to see things happen. Some of them don't want to see anything happen. So the responses are all over the place.
I had an anecdotal experience. Mermaid Carrie and I went down to visit the property, and it was on a drizzly kind of a damp day. And there was somebody down there that just took a break and came down to the waterfront there and sat there at the picnic bench and just kind of looked out over the bay. And I just felt a sense of, it wasn't just him, it was some other folks too. I felt this sense of sort of like, this is their place. You know, this is where people go, you know, whether it's sunshine or whether it's rain, you know, it's where people go. I got that. This is our home kind of a feeling to that property.
Yes, absolutely. I think that for most people, it's a very personal experience there. I have some amazing quotes from people. The first quote that I'm going to use in the presentation, I think, sets the stage for it all. It's a similar experience to what you just said. And people feel like it's their property. You know, it's been there for generations. They expect it to be there for generations. A lot of them feel very strongly about that. Some of the comments were really off the wall, I think. There's a lot of misunderstanding, or, you know, the telephone game where it starts out as one thing and ends up something else. I think there's a lot of misinformation being strewn around, and hopefully this presentation will help, and the commissioner's comments will help take care of any concerns that people have. Eric and I kicked this thing off in, I think, the best possible way. We went to Quilcene School and we met with the high school kids and we did a presentation to them. A few of them I recorded and they'll be in the presentation. I think that it was really important for us to hear what they had to say because they are the future. In 20 years, they're the ones who are going to be, you know, enjoying the beach with their children. So that's how we started it out. We blanketed the town with posters and we had the reader board at the high school giving information. We did an ad in the paper. We had press releases. But we also found that most people don't really pay a lot of attention to that kind of thing down in Quilcene. It's just the way it is. I mean, they're somewhat isolated away from the big city. So really, word of mouth, social media, and just pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them. That happened quite a bit with these conversations. You know, I would say, hey, you know, I don't see anybody out there. Do you know anybody? And they would make a couple of phone calls and those people would show up. It was just great. The connection to the community that the port has is so important. And I am so blessed to be part of this conversation. And the presentation is going to be done solely in the words of the people that I spoke with and the people who responded to the questionnaire. I am their voice, and I take that very seriously. So I'm excited to share this information that I've learned, and we'll see what happens next Wednesday. I know the community will be listening.
Eric, can you speak to maybe the different categories of response that you got from this survey?
The themes, the key themes that were... Yeah, I think I can speak to several of them and certainly would encourage Jeannie to, you know, get me back on the straight and narrow should I deviate at all. You know, my sense was, and Jeannie touched on this already, this is viewed as a really treasured community asset and intergenerationally so. People have really fond memories of the Linger Longer resort that was there in an earlier time. And they have gathered at this location for everything from wedding receptions and family reunions and barbecues to, you know, getting together to go out crabbing or the annual fishing event at the end of school that happens off the beach there. So number one, I would say, is a real clear and definite sense of just how cherished this is by the community. Number two, it's fair to say that there's real concern that the facility over quite some time has not been the recipient of the TLC that it deserves. In consequence, there's a lot of repair and maintenance work that it needs. And I think, you know, because it is so valued within the community, they justifiably want to be proud of this community asset. And I think the way the port, you know, maintains and repairs that facility can be a reflection of that. And then finally, if I were to identify a theme, it is, let's make sure that this isn't all show and no go, that the listening translates into demonstrable action by the port. That doesn't necessarily mean that the port can give the community, you know, everything that it wishes for, but it certainly means that the port does its level best to listen to and be responsive to the needs and desires of the community within, you know, within our financial limitations. And obviously, future decisions with respect to capital come down to the Port Commission, and there are a lot of other priorities. But I know that the Commission is keenly interested in doing right by the community.
Jeannie, what's your personal takeaway from all of this experience?
I feel like I've made a lot of friends that I never knew I had or never thought that I would have. Everybody was just so kind and generous with their time. They really wanted to say something. And they really believed that I was going to be their spokesperson, every single person I spoke with. And I take that very seriously. And that's why I think this project is hopefully the first of many that the port does with relation to projects that are coming up in the future. I also think that other government entities should follow this. I think it's a wonderful outline that can be used over and over again. It's called listening.
Eric Taves, Deputy Director, Jeannie McMacken, Communications Consultant to the Port of Port Townsend. Thank you so much for all of the work that you've done. And Pam?
This is going to be a fascinating presentation that everyone is invited to listen to. And it's going to be Wednesday, October 13th at 6 p.m. So you can access this Zoom meeting by going to the port website and go to commission meetings and you'll find a link. So super grateful and excited.
Well, this has been another edition of our Working Waterfront. We want to thank my co-hosts, Port Commissioner Pam Petronic and Port Director Aaron Berg. And we'll see you again next month on our Working Waterfront.